It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
And pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Finally, we have made it to the final day of the college football season. Seems like that was last Monday, but anyway, I got things confused. Welcome to the Monday edition, the national championship game, just a mere 4.5 hours away. We'll talk about that. Let's get to some headlines here. Craig Sankey, disappointed in the backlash to the final CFP rankings. He gave an interview yesterday, and there's been a lot of conversation about that today. Apparently, there was concern about security. We'll get to that issue in a minute. Michigan versus Washington, coaching confidential, opposing coaches' thoughts on the title game. We'll dig deep into that in 30 minutes with Bruce Feldman, live from the scene. So this is what it's all about, the defense versus the offense. Michigan's defense was superior. Washington had one of the best offenses in the country and possibly the best quarterback. Come on, what's going on here? This is in the Washington Post, a college football title game without the South. Bless your heart. That's not a compliment, by the way, if you live in the South. So since the CFP started in 2014, this is who has won. Georgia the last couple years. We thought tonight would be a coronation for them. Remember Bama during the COVID year. LSU won the year before with Joe Burrow. Clemson, Alabama, and then it was Ohio State. 10 years ago that knocked Alabama out, and 10 years ago was the exactly the final last time, I should say, that the SEC has not been in the championship game. Blake Baker, now the highest paid assistant. He comes over from MIZ. How about these numbers for Blake? Quite a good job there. Well thought of. Bruce Feldman, well thought of. He'll dig in deep. Adam Sparks covers the Vols. John Talty on a week after the play that didn't. And your phone calls, of course, at 855-242-7285. Let's check in with Gary to start things off in Tennessee. Hello, Gary.
Hey, Paul, how we doing?
We are doing great. Thank you for asking.
Well, I'm going to make this quick. There's no statement by the NASCAR drivers and pit crew that I think applies to Harbaugh, the coach at Michigan. Are you familiar with it?
Yeah, you know, I think I am. I covered a lot of NASCAR early in my career, and if I remember it correctly, I don't know whether it was Richard Petty or Dale Earnhardt who said if what was it? If you ain't cheating, you're not trying or something?
You got it. That's it.
my favorite NASCAR slogan, though, you would get a guy after a race, Gary, and you say, you had the lead, and then you ran out of gas. What happened there? He says, just one of them deals. But you're right about the cheating part.
Well, I don't know what's going on.
Was that Dale Sr. who invented that phrase?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think is going to be the upshot here? Is there going to be anything else done, or is it just going to kind of go by the wayside?
I think it all depends on tomorrow when win or lose. I think the feeling is now with Jim Harbaugh, nobody ever knows because he's a mercurial guy, but I think when he leaves, that will quiet down the investigation. There'll still be one, but it won't have the zeal. Hey, thank you for the call. Great to hear from you. How about Dwayne? I'll get to the right call eventually. Dwayne is up next.
Going on, Mr. Paul Feinbaum. Hey, Mr. Paul Feinbaum, I think I need to be in one of them slots. You got 3:30 slots or 4:15 slots. What you think about that?
Okay, what about it?
I think I need to be one of my sports.
Yeah, well, Dwayne, let me break it to you. I talked to the committee over the weekend, and
yeah,
they said you need to stay. You need to stick with the rig.
I know they gonna say that. But check this out.
One more thing, Dwayne. What you make on the Dwayne? What you make on the rig? Puts the rest of us to shame. So stay where you are.
No, it don't. It don't put you to shame. You need to donate $1,000. You need to donate $1,000 to the best caller. Is that the money you make? Hey, check this out. I got a hot topic for you. I got a couple things I need to tell you right quick. Because I'm Billy Napier for Florida.
Yeah.
You know, he's the head coach, the offensive coordinator, and a quarterback coach, huh?
Right.
All right. Why he called Charlie Wise Jr. from Ole Miss, the offensive coordinator, asked that man to come down and take the offense, want him to be the offensive coordinator. That man told him, don't call my phone never again. If you call my phone, have phone harassment charge on you.
I don't know.
Huh? Yeah, tell me why that. And look, why Brian Kelly, another thing about Brian Kelly, why he went and got the defensive coordinator, he put up 500 yards against him. Florida was 5-7. They put up 500 yards against them, and Georgia put up 400 and something yards against them without the tight end. So how much sense that make?
Listen, just be happy you got somebody, okay? You want Matt House back?
Oh no, indeed, nah.
Well, you keep complaining about the guy you have, and I'm going to call Brian Kelly and say, take Matt House back.
That name be just me. The man put up, Brian Kelly put up 500 against his defense. Florida put up 500 against that defense. And Georgia put up 400 against that defense. So what you telling me?
Well, those things happen. Hey, thanks for the call, Dwayne. You be well. John is up next in Louisville. Hey, John. John is up next. John is no longer up next. Mary Jo is, though, in Missouri. Hello, Mary Jo.
Hi, Paul. Good to talk to you again.
Thank you.
I'm making my list longer and longer. Ways that Coach Nick Saban and Coach Eli Drinkwitz are alike. Okay, both of them this year had their best ever coaching. I mean, both of them did a tremendous job coaching with their team. Okay, they both love trophies, and they both won a trophy this year. Coach Saban, the SEC championship, and then Coach Drinkwitz, the Cotton Bowl championship. Paul, we had the best party, lots of family and friends, and we watched the Cotton Bowl together. Now, the first three quarters scared us to death, really. That was bizarre. But the fourth quarter was great, and we ended up winning. And I just want to thank you, Paul. You know what I want to tell you, Paul? I really admire you, the way you talk to young callers. And they're so serious, and they know what they're talking about, like the 12-year-old Dominic. I really admire the way you listen to them and talk to them.
Mary Jo, I'm glad you said that. I mean, there's some people out there that think the only way to relate to a younger audience is to talk bro talk and curse and take your shirt off and all that. And we don't believe that. We believe young people want to be treated the same way that you are and other people are. Thank you so much for the call. We'll take a short break, and we are back right after this.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back. Glad to have all of you with us here on the Monday, the final Monday of the college football season. Joe starts off this segment from Alabama. Hello, Joe.
Hey, Paul. Just want to say I hope you and your family had a great Christmas and
New Year.
Also, I want to say I got a question about that whole cheating thing in Harbaugh. Does it bother you any that all these people calling in, and I'm going to say crying and whining, do these people honestly believe that whatever program that they support and cheer for, do they honestly believe that their program's done nothing wrong in cheating? I know for a fact, personally, a certain school offered a certain player a vehicle at graduation to go to their school, and they did. Crap like that happens all the time. All the time. And for people to call in to act like their program is holier than now shows ignorance on their part. Every program done it, has done it, and will continue to do it, even with the NIL and all. They all cheat, okay? And people are pissed off because it's Michigan, all right? And I got one final word. Who do you got in tonight's game, Alabama or Georgia?
I look for Alabama to pull a slight upset. Thank you for the call. John is up next in Louisville. Hey, John.
I'm here this time. I was listening to Dwayne the first time, and I got carried away with it. Is he unhappy Brian Kelly didn't clear the D.C. hire with him or something?
John, you've heard this before, but I just think he's unhappy when he's happy.
Yeah, I know. Hey, first of all, hoping Larry's doing well. I don't know if we've heard from him. And, Paul, I was going to tell you two things. So the CFP, I thought it ended up being pretty fair. You actually had six teams in the CFP because I think Georgia in the SEC championship loss, I think Ohio State in the game loss, I think it ended up being six teams in the playoff. Do you feel that way a little bit?
Yeah, I think that's fair because both schools would have gotten in had they won.
Yeah, exactly. It was win or walk home. And then I think the two games last week are going to end up being the better games. We'll see what happens tonight. I've got Michigan double digits because of the Achilles heel of Washington's pass defense. But I think it's great. We have two undefeated teams. We have two of the best coaches. I think DeBoer's 25-2 and what's Harbaugh 26-1 over the last 2 years. But here I found this interesting, Paul. When you go to the 2023 college football team talent composite, it's done by 247 Sports. I'll read you off the who they are. Number one's Alabama. They got there. Georgia's number two. They almost got there. Ohio State's number three. They almost got there. Then you've got Texas A&M. Nope, that's coaching. You've got Clemson next at number five. Nope, coaching. Texas is next. They got there. LSU didn't get there. Coaching. Then you've got USC coaching, and then you've got Oklahoma coaching, and then you've got Oregon that barely lost to Washington. I think that's interesting. The because Michigan's, I think, 14 in talent composite, and Washington is number 26. So I think you've got some pretty good coaches.
I mean, this is the one of the few times, now TCU was also there.
Yep.
It usually goes according to form, and I mean, you probably heard Ari Wasserman here a couple of days ago. I mean, this Alabama team isn't just talented. He claimed it was the most talented team of all time.
18 5-stars to Michigan's, too. Yeah, it should have gone all the way. By the way, when J.C. Latham got knocked down, remember in the final play?
Yeah.
Josiah, I think, Stewart, I think is his name. He's 6'1", 235 pounds. That's who knocked him down.
And you know this, John. That didn't happen Saturday, last Monday in Pasadena. That happened in spring ball. That happened before the season. That happened in winter workouts. Yeah, I don't know what possessed that young man to reach down, but there's something to that because there's no reason under the sun why Latham, who's a first-round draft choice, should have been beaten, let alone blown up.
Yeah, true. Look forward to the game tonight. Are you watching or Netflix?
No. I saw where Terry Sabin and Nick were watching some Turkish movie last week on Netflix. I went ahead and got that out of the way last night so I can watch the game tonight.
Okay.
We try to mimic every aspect of Nick and Terry's life. So if so, then maybe we could be just 1/1,000,000th as popular as the First Family. Bash is up next. Hello, Bash.
My Bash, Brother Paul. How are we doing today?
Man, we are doing great. Thank you for checking in.
That's great to hear. A real quick question, Paul. Do you have the name of that Turkish movie that if Nick Saban and Terry Sabin recommended to you, I would love to hear the name of that movie as well. Do you have it?
Yeah, I think it's Last Night in Istanbul.
Fantastic. That absolutely sounds like my next go-to watch.
Or maybe the name of the movie was Just a Bunch of Bull.
Regardless, both of those movies sound better than watching the national championship game tonight. How about that?
No, come on. Listen, I know what I said last week, but I'll be tuned in. It starts at 7:45. A little sleepy today. I don't know if I'll make it to 8.
Well, it's 5:45 in Colorado, so I might just, like I said, you gave me a great recommendation that Nick and Terry Sabin gave you, so it sounds like a better option. But besides that, I think Washington is going to get it done tonight, Paul. I really, like I was telling you last week, I don't know what you and the rest of the world has been so impressed by Michigan's offense since last week. They only scored 13 points, Paul, till the final 2 minutes of regulation. And I don't think that's going to get it done tonight.
Does the final 2 minutes of the game not count?
It does if Washington doesn't blow the lead against the Texas.
In the red zone in the final 2 minutes, you don't get credit for it, according to the Bash brothers. What better time to score, Bash?
You're right. That is the best time to score.
Maybe they were playing an elite defense in Alabama that they won't be seeing tonight in Michigan. Just a thought. What do I know? Gary is up next in Cullman, Alabama. Hello, Gary.
Hi, Paul. Good to talk to you.
Thank you.
I had a comment and then a question. I'm a huge Bama fan, been a Bama fan all my life, which isn't that long. I'm only 40. But it's kind of humbling. We got beat by the better team. We got outcoached, and that's all I'll say about that. But my question is, these transfers leaving Alabama, on Alabama's worst season, if you go back and look, we only have a 3-loss season as long as Saban's been there. So why would you want to leave that?
Why would anyone want to leave? Is that what you're asking me?
Well, when you leave a prestigious college like that in the football world, you know going there, the worst season you're going to have is 3 losses.
But hey, the Gary, that's why Alabama wins or comes in second in recruiting every year, because it is the defining place in college football right now over the last 15 years. And now Georgia is in the same category, and I would say Ohio State is as well. Eddie is calling next from Tuscaloosa. Eddie, what's going on?
Hey, Paul. I just got a little trivia for you. I happen to think about and won't be of any interest to anybody, particularly unless you're an Alabama fan, and I apologize for that. But, Paul, the three worst years that Alabama had would be the Whitworth years, 55, 60,
right. 57. J.B. Ears Whitworth.
We only won. Yeah, oh, yeah, Ears Whitworth. And he had a lot of things going on that wasn't all his fault. But anyway, it's
By the way, Eddie, one of the things he had going on was he was a terrible coach.
Oh, yeah, that added considerable to it. But we are in those 3 years, Paul, we only won four games. We didn't win any the first year. We were 11-0. The second year, we won games. But it's interesting to me, of the four games that we won, two of them were kind of, you know, North Texas State, something like that. One of them was Mississippi State, but one of them, of all things, playing away, they beat Georgia.
Oh, my goodness. Wouldn't Georgia like to have that one back?
I don't know. I think I'm just giving the game
I did not story. Realize. Hey, Eddie, when I came to Alabama, and you remember, when I discovered Ears Whitworth, whose record was what, like 4-28 or something? When Perkins had the losing record in, what was it, 84?
Yeah.
It was the first time since Ears Whitworth. So as a young columnist, I went to town on Ears Whitworth. I mean, I had an Ears Whitworth reference in every column that year.
Oh, I remember. Deservedly. You know, they used to say if you got a traffic ticket in Tuscaloosa, they didn't give you a traffic ticket. They gave you a ticket there on Alabama game.
Right. That's funny.
And when your second offense, you got the ticket, but you had to go.
I don't know if I've ever heard that one before. But Jennings Bryan Ears Whitworth at all?
Oh yeah, I knew of him. We used to kind of slip in and watch the practices, and it was Paul. It was pitiful. It was just the band wore all black at that time for some reason or other. And I can remember the team going on the field for a regular game, and some of the players would be in practice pants like. It was not a very good year. I don't know. And I really hate that because I met Coach Whitworth, and he was obviously very.
Sure. By the way, he got off to a really good start. His final season, he opened the season at Tiger Stadium. And by the way, I remember Alabama's opened a few seasons down there. He lost 28-0, and then his final game at Legion Field, Eddie, they kept it close for a while before losing 40-0.
Yeah, hey, and the second half was worse than that.
It really was. Hey, Eddie, thanks for the call. We head to Houston in a minute. Talk to Bruce Feldman from Fox and The Athletic.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
There's literally nothing better than right before a big game during the regular season, championship weekend, or the national championship, to read one of Bruce Feldman's deep dives in The Athletic about what coaches are saying. They're confidential, but they're legitimate head coaches and assistants. David Ubbin, of course, doing the story with Bruce. Bruce, many thanks. Appreciate you joining us as the clock is ticking toward the end of this season. Good afternoon, and take us through what you learned about this huge game tonight.
Yeah, I think it's a fascinating matchup, Paul, because what you really have are two programs in a lot of ways have some similarities in this regard. Both were way down. Washington was 4-8 a couple of years ago under Jimmy Lake, and then Kalen DeBoer comes in, and they've taken off, and they have become this dynamic, exciting offense that throws the ball and takes shots downfield. And Michigan was obviously in the dumps, at the same time, essentially a two-win season in the COVID shortened year. And then Jim Harbaugh really has done a 180. And this team has, a lot of those same players stayed through it. And they won three Big Ten titles in a row. And they've dominated the Big Ten and dominated their rival. And they obviously beat Alabama last week. And I think what you have are two really mentally tough teams. And so that's the fun part of the matchup. The interesting thing is, can anybody, most notably, can the Wolverines slow down Michael Penix and this offense?
And does seem like Michael Penix is the X factor for everyone, is he not?
He is. I mean, what we have not seen a quarterback in an offense like this. Guys put up big numbers, but a lot of times it's dink and dunk and let the playmakers get the ball and run. What this is, it's a lot of formation and shifts and movement where Kalen DeBoer and that staff does a really good job of finding mismatches. And then what you have is a quarterback in Penix who is playing with a ton of confidence. I don't know if Michigan can slow them down. I know Michigan's going to try to grind out the clock and wear them down physically. And look, we saw last week, Texas ran average 6 yards a carry, but ultimately they self-destructed and had a couple of costly fumbles. But they ran the ball down Washington's throats, and I suspect Michigan is going to try to do that tonight.
Talking to Bruce Feldman about the game, and Michigan has to figure out a way to stop Michael Penix. Bruce, let me go back a little bit, because you spend so many Saturdays on the sidelines working for Fox. You've encountered Jim Harbaugh so often. And I know everybody throws the Connor Stallion stuff up, but you've seen it from the sidelines. How and what did he do 3 years ago, nearly fired, to turn this thing into arguably the best program in the country, along with maybe Georgia and Alabama and Ohio State?
Yeah, I think the biggest things when you talk to people inside the program is that Jim Harbaugh had a better connection with his players than he had before. I think that he opened up to them. I think he challenged them. You have some former players there who I've talked to this weekend who said, coming out of that pandemic year, that season was probably the best thing that happened to Michigan because it was so bad and they were so disgusted. It forced a lot of guys to really look inside in the mirror. And I think Jim Harbaugh was able to rally that, and kind of challenge them, on the physicality part. And I think anybody who's watched them, the one thing I think you cannot take away from this team is they are really physical. I mean, they are a big, strong team with a lot of depth, and they get after people, And I think people saw that last weekend against a really physical Alabama team. In a lot of ways, it felt like they out-Alabama'd Alabama. Now, I don't think that was a great Alabama team by Nick Saban standards, but at the same time, I think you saw a really resilient, they're not just a really mentally tough team, they're also a really physically tough team. And I think Harbaugh was able to, he made some really good evaluations and they developed a lot of talent. I don't think they have a ton of guys like Georgia had who will be high, first round picks, but I think they have a lot of guys who will be third, fourth, fifth, sixth round picks. And this is an older, more mature team, and they built towards this. This is why Jim Harbaugh, is here. I think he wanted to really coach this team. And for the most part, we know about his suspension, but I think this team, there is something about them. They really do play hard, and I think there is a real chip on their shoulder. You know, they've been doubted everywhere. And even if you can say, okay, there was a favorite last week. Yeah, but everybody else thought there, you know, all the coaches in the conference told me they thought Alabama was going to beat them and they'd have no shot. I just feel like there's something about that kind of resilience that plays into it. Not to say they're unbeatable. It's not to say that they're like, you know, the 2001 Miami team or some of the great Saban teams, but they play so together as a team. And I think you have an unselfish team, and Harbaugh has pushed a lot of the right buttons. You have to give him credit for that.
And Bruce, on the other side, you mentioned Jimmy Lake getting run out of Washington, but Washington has been there before. They were in the playoffs with Peterson in 2015. First of all, how did they land on DeBoer? His record was gaudy in terms of championships, but he was still from a different world that a lot of big-time college athletic directors simply don't want to go.
Yeah, I think, look, credit to Jen Cohn, the former AD who's now at USC. She knew that it was not working out with Jimmy Lake, and she pivoted fast. And people behind the scenes really have a lot of respect for Kalen DeBoer. In a lot of ways, he is almost Chris Peterson 2.0 in terms of how he approaches things. I did a big story on him over the weekend from talking to people about what, like, most people wouldn't know who Kalen DeBoer is if he walked into a room unless he was wearing Washington gear, you know, and yet there's a poise and there is a confidence and there's a composure there that a lot of coaches talk about. But in the moment, you know, we all see guys on the sideline. I think those are the kinds of things that really resonate with this team. This is a very experienced team. They've been through a lot. And I think that plays into what, kind of how they built this. I mean, they're, you know, it's not like they're perfect. I mean, they have a spotty defense and they've had a lot of, you know, tight games. But I think they take on his personality. And so it's been pretty amazing to see what they've done. And, you know, I think he's legit one of the top five or six coaches. And we've seen, you know, Lance Leipold at Kansas. We've seen some guys come from really smaller division schools who prove if you can coach, you can coach, no matter if it's at the highest level with a big crowd or if it's a smaller level. You know, football is still football.
Bruce, trying to compile all that you learned from everyone with whom you spoke, is there a composite of what they all collectively think is going to happen tonight?
No, not with this one. I think because both teams have such a resilience, I think the bulk of the people I talk to think Michigan will not be able to stop Michael Penix and that offense. It's too explosive. And honestly, Alabama, with the secondary they have with Downs and those two corners, probably would have been a tougher matchup than maybe this Michigan defense is. But the flip side is J.J. McCarthy, their quarterback's played in a ton of big games now. They have a really good offensive line, and there's a consistency there. And so, you know, I picked Michigan before the start of the season. I picked them last week. My hunch is Michigan will find a way to win. But I think the coaches that we talked to were fairly split, although I think there was more lean towards Washington just because they have the more explosive offense. And ultimately, I think that they wonder if Michigan will be able to keep up with them.
Great stuff. Bruce Feldman joining us. Outstanding piece, many great outstanding pieces in The Athletic. We head to the break. We'll get more reaction on the game from you and other experts as we continue here on a Monday afternoon.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And Rick is up next in Houston. Good afternoon, Rick.
Good afternoon, Paul. Man, it seems like Dwayne is getting a lot like Augie. You just can't make some of these LSU folks, some of my LSU brothers, happy.
No, they want to just be, they're the part of the fellowship of the miserable.
I know some people like that. If they're not unhappy, they're not happy.
You're correct.
But hey, quick thing on LSU, man. We're looking pretty good for 2025. Got the number one class now.
Right. Yeah, that was a big pickup the other day. I mean, they have the number one running back and the number one QB,
and the number one wide receiver.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, there's some things happening in Baton Rouge right now. It's taken a little bit of time, but that's understandable.
I think BK's got it going in the right direction. But hey, Paul, I wanted to talk to you about a book I read, and I'm sure you probably read it years ago, but I finally got around to reading The Greatest Generation by Tom Brokaw.
Oh yeah, that is considered one of the iconic books. I mean, the book's been out maybe 15, 20 years, maybe longer, but yeah. it's about the suffering and the sacrifice of World War II.
Well, Paul, my dad served in World War II. He was in the Pacific, in the Philippines, and you know, one of the only things he'd ever tell me was that he had to go into Okinawa after the Nagasaki after the bomb.
Oh my!
And Dad would never talk about the war, and that was one of the things that really, I always thought that Dad was probably different in that way.
Sure.
But the book confirmed that the men that came back from that war, they just did not want to talk about it.
No, you know, Rick, obviously, my own father was in Manila during the latter half of World War II under when General MacArthur went back in there. And, as a kid like you, I mean, you were always curious. I mean, you watch the war movies and you want to know about the blood and guts, and they never told us. But that's emblematic of almost anyone who's ever been in war. And I think the reason's pretty obvious. What they see is so horrific that you don't ever want to talk about it again.
Yeah. You know, Paul, my mom and dad were both, you know, obviously they grew up during the Depression. They were both 39 when I was born. My sister was 16 years older than me, and my brother was 10. So, you know, I was never really around any other veterans that I really, you know, that I knew. So I never had anyone else to talk to about it. But like I said, you know, the book made me realize that my dad wasn't different. He was just like
I'm really glad you read that, because that's an important book. And conversely, or maybe piggybacking that, as a young kid, we would often hear from Holocaust survivors, and they were the same way, and their reasons were different. Instead of being considered a hero, surviving something that was one of the worst atrocities, perhaps the worst atrocity ever, they felt guilt, not so much for what they did or didn't do. It's for those who were left behind.
Those who were left behind. Yeah, you know, Paul, many years ago I read Corey Ten Boom's book, and, you know, there's a lot of books out there that are very, very much on that subject. But like I said, I just wanted to run it by you that I finally got around to reading it, and I'm very glad that I did.
Rick, thank you. I appreciate you, Dad, and I'm that it is a phenomenal read, and that's why we often hear from Vietnam veterans. They went through a completely different situation, but the trauma of it is still the same. Thank you very much for the call. Stacy is up next. Good afternoon.
Paul, how you doing, man?
Hey there, Stacy.
Hey, feel kind of bad today, but it's gonna be okay. My tie, he not playing tonight, but it's gonna be okay. I just want to see a good game tonight. I don't want Michigan to get this far and go out there and lay down. I don't want Washington to get this far and go out there and lay down. I just want to see a good game, competitive game, and may the best team win. I will say this, give my opinion on this. I don't think Michigan is going to be able to penetrate that offensive line of Washington like they did Alabama. I think that's going to be the difference in the game. What you think about that?
Yeah, I am confused. I have a couple of friends who are coaches, and they all are on Washington tonight. I don't have a legitimate reason to be on either side because I truly don't care, and I don't mean that flippantly. It's just another football game that I'll be watching with complete dispassion. But I understand the logic. I just tend to lean toward Michigan a little bit. And maybe that's because I just got through watching them do what you got through watching them do, Stacy.
Yeah, I got you. Well, to get away from that, my last question to you is this. I'm going to change the subject to basketball right quick. What do you think we got to do as far as Alabama basketball to get over the hump and get some of these guys in?
The recruiting for next year is phenomenal, but I was watching the end of the Memphis game yesterday, and I saw Quinterly, and I've seen a couple of Alabama players, not only in the NBA, but around college football. I'm not extremely high on this year, but I think next year is going to be a major turnaround.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.